Let's please stand as we read in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And we'll read responsibly as it is our custom. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bound thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as the wormwood, and sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. Thou shouldest ponder in the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. I'm not, and come not nigh to her door of her house. I'm sorry about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the testimonies tonight and the people attesting to your goodness and your greatness. And Father, how you care and how you work in the midst of your church. Thank you for this church, for these people that love you and want to serve you. Tonight, Father, as we gather together, help your word to find a home in our hearts. Help us to respond to it, Father, gladly, as David did. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And so as we gather today as a people, Lord, help us. Help our preacher as he gives us words that will encourage our growth and will draw us nearer to you. We just pray, Lord Jesus, that you speak so now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Be seated. I'm going to carry on with a message from last Sunday night. If you remember, we had a whole lot we did last Sunday evening, and I wasn't even up and preaching by this time. And so I'm going to finish a message, or I'm going to go as far as I can, and tonight is going to be the end of it. It's part two, and I don't plan on going to part three. But the title of my message is Don't Even Think of Parking Here. I'm going to review a little bit. I only hit one point last week. I have four areas that I'm going to try to, the other three areas I'd like to try to cover tonight. But the text verse is 5 verse 8, Proverbs chapter 5 verse 8, remove thy way from her and come not nigh the door of her house. Of course, Solomon seems to be speaking with a strong sense of urgency to his son, kind of like a dad, obviously a dad, you know, when he sees his son or his children in danger. He says, listen to me, and I can kind of see that. Listen to me, son. He's teaching him to have wisdom and bow thine ear to understanding so that he can use discretion in the choices that he makes in the future. I just want to stop and say this. You know, parents, right now is teaching time for your children. Right now is teaching time for your children. You will not have a chance after they're 18 years old, or it gets even harder, okay, the longer you decide and wait to decide to teach them, it's going to be very difficult to start teaching them the very important lessons of life, morality, and different things, many different things, at 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. Right now is very, very important time to teach the kids. That's why, you know, when I came in here, we wanted to do everything we could to reach the kids, have the youth group to try to teach them, to assist you, mom and dad. All we are, the church is an extension of the home. Okay, you know what? I can't go ahead. Of course, your kids will come here Tuesday nights and so forth, and we'll teach them some things. We want to teach them some character and different things from the Word of God. But you know what? You have a responsibility, Mom and Dad, to teach them some things so that they can learn how to make wise decisions when they get older. And I'm talking about, and by the way, there's a lot of things they're going to have to learn to decide. You know, and Mom and Daddy's not always going to be around. The preacher's not always going to be there. But right now, it's important for us to teach our children the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God, so that when they come to a point of peer pressure and a decision-making time, they're going to learn how to make the right choices. And this is kind of what Solomon, I think, is doing here with his son. You know, listen to me. I want to teach you some things. And he was teaching about the strange woman, a harlot. Or we can also liken it to worldly devices. Her enticement with her lips, her sly talk of drawing you in, if you will, and the result is bitterness. It's like a two-edged sword stuck in you, the Bible says. In other words, destruction will come if you go that way. He tells them to remove thyself from her. Do not even come near her door. In other words, get away from the edge. One blow of wind can knock you in there. Don't even go close to it. Don't even think of parking here, in other words. Many businesses, I mentioned last week, many businesses have no parking signs at certain locations. I've seen signs that say, don't even think of parking here. We don't have that sign out here that says, thou shalt not park. I noticed that. All right, so we've got the 11th commandment, I guess, out here. I don't know. Somebody added it. But it says, thou shalt not park out here. But the title of my message is, don't even think of parking here. This particular statement, don't even think of parking here, I think is much stronger than the message of no parking. So tonight, I want to talk about not crossing that line, not even getting close to sin. Don't even draw yourself near it. There's serious consequences and inevitable if you draw close to it. And number one, that I talked about last week, don't even think of parking in the place of immorality. I spent the whole time that I had preaching last week on immorality. Today, immorality is laughed at. Hollywood goes ahead and laughs at it, promotes it, and we fall for it. And we even we're at a point in our life where we laugh at it. You know, them little sitcoms that come on, you know, we've come a long way from Andy Griffith, I tell you what. And boy, I tell you what, and they've got Shacking Up is laughed at today, and teen sexuality and all that is all laughed at today and promoted. And tonight I plead with you, if you're pulling into that lot, don't think of parking there. Pull out of it. Avoid the opportunity. I talked about that last week and the many different opportunities that there are for you to go ahead and commit immorality through your music, through Hollywood, through the internet, through certain television and different things. You need to go ahead and get away from it. Music, that rock music that promotes sex and drugs and shacking up and all of that, that's all kind of fuel to the fire of immorality. You just stay away from it. Avoid the offer. Talked about that last week, and avoid the outcome. Boy, what an outcome that immorality sure does bring upon an individual. Think of David. We talked about David and Bathsheba, been talking about him on Wednesday nights, but boy, it just went downward. The serious consequences of David just went downward. He lost his baby. David's daughter Tamar was raped by David's son Amnon. Absalom's servants killed Amnon. Absalom rebelled against his father and stole the kingdom from David. Boy, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. That sin of immorality with David and Bathsheba just got bigger, and it literally destroyed his family. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Boy, the devil likes to do nothing but to chew you up and spit you out. He'll try to entice you into the internet world. He'll try to entice you into that television. He'll try to entice you into pornography. Just like he did in the Garden of Eden, he made that tree look beautiful. He made that fruit look beautiful, and she succumbed to it, and sin has been a problem course ever since. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23. Again, I'm reviewing a little bit, then I'll get to my next point. But if ye will do not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You can have fun with immorality right now. You can go ahead and sneak them magazines. You can sneak them pictures. You can sneak that affair, if you will. You can sneak it. You can hide it, but it will catch up to you. Your sin will find you out. Hey, teach your children now, mama and daddy, how to live, how to act. Teach them how to have a good behavior. Teach them how to date right, according to the Word of God. Their life will not be so tough if we, mom and dad, Christian mom and dad, get involved in teaching your kids. Teach your daughter how to treat a guy. Teach your son how to treat a girl. Teach them it is good for a man not to touch a woman and vice versa. You control how they date, mom and dad. You control who they date too. Amen. If not, we'll allow Hollywood to go ahead and teach them. Teach them. Don't think of parking in the place of immorality. Number two, don't even think of parking in the place of inactivity. Ecclesiastes, I like this verse. I know it, but I'm just going to go ahead and read it this evening. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I'm reading just the first portion of that verse. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Don't even think of parking in the place of inactivity. In other words, keep busy. You know, whatever your hand finds to do, you know, work. Do it with all your might. You know, it's a whole lot better to go ahead and do the job once than go over and do it twice. You know, my dad used to teach me that, you know, and if he saw us kind of sloughing off and doing the job halfway, he'd teach us this principle all the time. You know what? It's a whole lot easier, saves you a whole lot more time if you go ahead and give your whole heart to that project, whatever it may be, and do it once the first time, right, instead of having to go over it the second time. Hey, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Hey, keep busy. If not, then get busy. You know, we all ought to be busy doing something. I'm not talking about busy bodies with our mouths and so forth. We ought to be busy doing something. Boy, God has given us a whole host of things to do. He commands us to go soul winning. Boy, you know what? If we go ahead and spend our time talking to people about the Lord and stop talking about others, you know what? We might get a whole lot done for the cause of Christ. Amen. Let me just say that again. If we'd be busy following the command of God, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, getting busy in the things of God, getting busy in the cause of Christ, and getting busy, if we get busy praising the Lord, if we get busy telling people about the lost, about Jesus Christ, and stop being so busy running our mouth about others, boy, we could populate the kingdom of God. We could see some great things happen in the church. We could see some great things happen in our own home. But sometimes our tongue gets in the way. You know, your tongue, the Bible says, is as a fire. You know, it can destroy. You know, I've used this illustration before, but if I was up here, flip it with a match and so forth, and, you know, whatever, and just kind of, I didn't bother to blow it out, but I just kind of got a little flip it and started throwing it around a little bit. You know, that could cause much devastation. Hey, you know what the Bible says? That's what the tongue does. You know, your tongue go ahead and destroy people. I wonder tonight how many people aren't in church because of a tongue. I wonder how many divisions are in a family unit tonight because of a tongue. I wonder how many brothers and sisters, I'm thinking right now of a brother and sister, they couldn't get along, and they couldn't even remember why they got along, and the brother died a few years ago, and but he went to his grave saying, I'm not going to go ahead and make up with my sister. The truth of the matter is, I went ahead and asked him a few years ago, why is it that you won't get along with your sister? I don't know. It was some little thing years ago. He forgot about it, but he wanted to go ahead and be right. And he went to the grave because he couldn't go ahead and get along with his sister. Hey, you know what? The tongue, you know, use the tongue. How many divisions can be caused in a family unit, in a church, at a job site, wherever, simply because of the tongue? Get busy. Boy, we ought to be busy spreading the gospel. We ought to be busy in a Sunday school class. We ought to be busy on a bus route. We ought to be busy out knocking on doors. We ought to get busy. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Give it all you got. Hey, Sunday school teacher, you know what? Even we can be inactive Sunday school teachers. And what I mean by that is the very truth of the matter is we can be inactive in ways that we just don't care. We kind of step into that pulpit, that little podium, slipshod, and without any preparation at all. That's an inactive teacher as far as I'm concerned. You know what, boy, you ought to be thinking the very moment that you leave your Sunday school class on Sunday morning, boy, tomorrow you ought to get up and be thinking about them kids, about that Sunday school class that God has given you. You ought to be praying for them throughout the week. You ought to have them on your mind. You ought to be preparing for that class Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hey, if you can't go ahead and walk into your little podium prepared, hey, you know what, just do them a favor, back out of it. And let's go ahead and put somebody in there who wants to be actively involved in their life. And let's put somebody actively involved in, who wants to be actively involved in loving them and teaching them the unsearchable riches of Christ. Hey, you know what? There's maybe some of you here tonight, you're parking in that spot of inactivity. And I'm pleading with you, get busy. Get busy. Get busy. You know, a lot of good Christians backslide often because they become critical and idle mind, which produces idle talk. They're not busy doing the things of the Lord. They're not busy maybe even on their job. They're just very slipshod. But it's funny how busy they are trying to tell people how to go ahead and get the job done. You know, a lot of Christians will go ahead and back away from being where God wants them to be simply because they become critical. Someone has said, an idle mind is a devil's workshop. Great minds talk about ideas. Good minds talk about things. And weak minds talk about people. You know, I like fellowshipping. I love fellowship. I love fellowshipping with the people of God. But you know what? And I like talking about ideas. I like sitting down. Sometimes I'll talk with some of you men at a fellowship, in a restaurant, different things. And, well, we'll talk about ideas. But you know what? Let me just say this. About the time that some fellowship or some little group or something starts talking ill about people, that's the time to disband it at that moment. I'm not saying disband their friendship. I'm not saying disband their, you know, and so forth. But just about the time that your ideas are done, you're talking about ideas are over with, and you start kind of slipping your tongue out and say, well, so-and-so this and so-and-so that, so-and-so. You know what? It's a good idea to go home at that time. You know what? Hey, great minds talk about ideas. Good minds talk about things. Weak minds talk about people. Where's your mind tonight? Don't let your fellowship get out of hand. You know, sometimes our fellowshipping, if we're not careful now, if our fellowshipping, whether it be just a little cup of coffee with somebody or whatever, it'll be finger pointing, but just don't forget there's three pointing right back at you. You know, our men's fellowship, I love them. I enjoy being with the men. Many times we talk about ideas of the ministry, and I enjoy that. Boy, a few months ago, we sat downstairs, a whole bunch of us men, talking about ideas of the ministry. Oftentimes, we'll talk about ideas of the ministry, some different things that we want to do here. And sometimes we'll talk about fishing, amen? That's not people, you know? So you can talk about fishing and other personal interests, like eating, and more eating, amen? But we need to disband if we get to a point where we're talking ill of others. Sometimes people feel like they need to be the informer. Well, let me tell you, you know, hey, Pastor, go ahead and let me tell you. Listen, let me just set the record straight. You know, so many times people would love to go ahead, and it's like they get this little bit of information, probably from a source that from some other outside source or from somebody, if you will, and they'll come to you and they'll go ahead and try to inform you. Well, you know, I hate to be the one to tell you this, and don't tell. You know, they want to be the informer, if you will. They want to be the one to go ahead and tell you. And oftentimes, they're the ones that's the inactive person. They want to go ahead and bend their ear towards the gossip, if you will, towards the criticism, if you will. Oh, I can't believe that happened. Hey, preacher, you know, I got to tell you this. Hey, let me just say this. If it's going to harm somebody, if it's physically going to harm somebody, if it's a dangerous situation, then go ahead and tell me. But if it's just for us to go ahead and backbite on them, I don't want to hear it. That's a good principle to live by the way, because let me tell you something, that'll stop your criticism, and that'll stop some ill feeling towards them if you don't listen. You understand what I'm saying? You know what, if you go ahead and you live by that principle, you know what, again, if it's a harmful situation and and they need to get to counsel and different things, and they tell me, hey, you need to get to that person because it is a danger, then I understand. But if it's just go ahead and loosen your tongue and say whatever to go ahead and hurt them and shoot back at them, you know what, I really don't want to hear it. Because I do not want to go ahead and think ill of them. And oftentimes when we go ahead and hear that kind of stuff, we start to the red flag starts going up, and the truth of the matter is it may not even be anything close to that situation. It may not even be one bit close to the situation that person was telling you about. Hey, listen, we must be active. An inactive person has a tendency to use their tongue unwisely. An inactive person is busy telling people how things ought to be done, but they won't roll their sleeve up and get busy. An inactive person is called a lazy person. The Bible says, Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. You know, lazy people lack. They do. They're the ones that's wanting things. But hard work is blessed. Boy, you know what? You ought to work hard. You know, that verse I read a while ago, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Not just halfway, but you give it all you got. You give that Sunday school class all you got. You give that Saturday soul winning time all you got. You give that Tuesday soul winning time all you got. You go ahead and you give your Bible reading all you got. Hey, hard work is blessed. Lazy people aren't blessed that way. They're the ones that's looking for handouts. They're the ones that's pointing the fingers and criticizing, while the active ones are out soul winning and out serving and doing something constructive for the cause of Christ. You know how you can drive a decent car? Work. Amen. You know how you can go ahead and wear some nice clothes? Work. You know, and oftentimes people say, well, I wish I could drive that kind of car, and I don't know whether they've got a job or not. I wish I could have that. I wish I had that. I wish I had that. I wish I had it. Let me just ask you a question. How's your work ethic? I wish I had that kind of house. I wish I had that kind of clothes. I wish I had that kind of ring, if you will. You know, my first car. Man, my dad taught me to work. Of course, we were young. I grew up on a farm. And my first car was a 1979 Ford Fiesta. Anybody remember them? 1979. And this was 1987 when I bought my first car. Boy, it was a cool car, man. I thought it was. $500. I mean, nice running car, if I remember correctly. But you know what? My dad said, you want it? I said, yeah. He says, how are you going to get it? I said, he says, you have $500? No. I got about 275, I think it was. He says, work. I was kind of looking for a handout. I really was. I thought, I mean, I got over half of it, Dad. How about 175? No. He says, work. You know, listen to me. You know, that right there, if you leave with anything tonight, you know what, young people? Learn how to work. Moms and dads, let's work. You know, even we live in a society where everything is done for us. Think about it. I mean, you go, you know, we live through it, a drive-through society. Go to the bank, it's a drive-through. You know why? Because we really don't want to get out and go in and walk in. You go to a McDonald's, it's a drive-through. You go to Burger King, you know, everything's a drive-through nowadays. You know, I know we make fun of it, but it's true. The remote control, you think about that thing. You know, and if we don't have it in our spot, well, first of all, you know what, generally we'll go ahead and get mad at the kids first, amen? If we don't find it. And then if they, I don't know, what will we generally go ahead and do? We will tear up the house till we find it. We'll expend all our energy tearing up the whole living room, tearing up the couch, tearing up everything, in the meanwhile yelling at the kids, well, you had the remote, blah, 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 giving all that energy and yelling and screaming and tearing up the house until you find that remote where you could have just gone ahead and walked over and pressed the button. You know, listen, we do live really in a lazy society. And it's creeped into adulthood, and you know what? It's creeped right down to our children. Hey, you know what? We need to learn how to work. We need to get back to that old-fashioned work ethic again. We need to roll up our sleeves. You know a good way to go ahead and help a homeless person? Go on into McDonald's, get you a whole big pad of McDonald's applications, and just start passing them out to them. You know, I mean, because generally a homeless person, oftentimes, I've had it happen. When I worked in Chicago, I was on coffee break. I went across the street, right downtown, and there was a White Hen Pantry there. I went over, got a cup of coffee, and there was always some homeless folks out there. Now, I'm not making fun of homeless folks. Don't misunderstand me. Sometimes they're there because of some sad situation, whatever the case may be, but oftentimes they can get up and go to work, really. But the truth of the matter is, and there was this one homeless guy, you know, he says, hey, man, can I have a little bit of money and so forth? And he was saying, you know, I said, no, I'm not going to give you any, but if you want a cup of coffee and a bite to eat, why don't you come on in here and I'll go ahead and get you. Yeah, I was more than glad to go ahead and do that for him. You know, because I had a policy that I do not give money away. He said, oh, come on, man, you know, I'll get something to eat. I can do that, but just give me some money so that I can, I'll go in later and get something. He said, no, I have a policy. I told him, I have a policy that I just don't give money away, but I would be more than delighted to go ahead and take you in, buy you a cup of coffee, get you something to eat so that you can have a little bit of nourishment and be more than glad. No, man, can I just have, you know, and he was literally shaking at that time. I just want some money. I said, no, but come on in. I want a cup of coffee. Come on in. Share, you know, we'll get you a cup of coffee. And he goes, and I told him it's a policy. He says, well, that's a stupid policy. You know, and I got thinking about where he is and where I am at that time. Who's working across the street and who's not? Now, don't misunderstand me, but, you know, you kind of, that's a stupid policy. And then he went ahead and admitted. He says, well, you know, the truth of the matter is I wanted to buy some liquor. That's what he wanted it for. You know, and he was capable of working. Many of them are. You know, we just need to be busy, church. You know, we live in such a day and age. You know, literally, everything is done for us. Everything is just about done for us. And you know what? And it's affecting the next generation, believe it or not. I see in our kids, you know, parents, you ought to have jobs for your children. And let me just say this, kids. Let me just talk to you a minute. Teenagers, even your young children who are under the sound of my voice, I want you to watch mom and dad for the week. Watch them get up in the morning. Okay, you go to school. You can't necessarily see them, but you know that they're at work. You know they're doing something. You know they're working to go ahead and put a roof over your head. You know they're working to go ahead and put clothes on your back. They're working so that you can come home and eat a bunch of snacks after school and eat supper and all that. You know, I want you to be thinking about that all that teenager. And children. And I want you to go ahead and think, my mom and dad, they're working all these hours throughout the week so that I can go ahead and have the things that I have. I wonder what I can do to help them. You know, that's character. Now listen to me. Don't misunderstand me. Mom and dad, we have a responsibility to teach them how to work. We have a responsibility to go ahead and give them projects so that they learn how to work and sweat and so forth and different things. That's important. That's good. But you know what? Let me just say this, teenager. Sometimes your mom and dad just won't have time for something. And if you see a job that needs to be done, why don't you just go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to do that job. Maybe you will see a lawn needs to be, I'll go mow the lawn. Maybe you will see the garbage needs to be, I'll take the garbage. Maybe you will see, hey, it needs to vacuum in the house. I don't know what it is. Maybe if you're able, you can go do some cooking. Maybe you can go ahead and cook supper. Maybe you could go, and you know, you might want to warn your mom and dad if you do this, young person, but they may need to sit down for this before you ask them this question, okay? Mom, Dad, what can I do to help you? The reason why I say that is because they've never heard it before. And about that time, you know what? Well, they might have to have the phone in their hand to call 911 for the ambulance to take them to the hospital. Okay, but it's true. Hey, what I'm saying is today, teenager, learn how to work. You know, and dads, let me say this. Dads, moms, you be an example to them. Be an example of hard work. You know what? Dads, it's good for your kids to see you sweat. It's good to see you out there, you know, doing whatever, getting dusty, getting dirty. It's good for them to see you work. You know, lead by example. You know, we live in such an inactive time today. And I want to plead, don't even think of parking there. Don't get to a place where you're lazy. Don't get to a place where you're inactive. You know, the church needs you. If there's ever a time that we need laborers, the harvest is plenteous. And the laborers are few. If there's ever a time that we need laborers for the cause of Christ, it's now. With everything waxing worse and worse and worse, and let me just say this. It won't be long. Jesus is coming. Okay? And let me just say this. You know what? When Jesus comes, yes, we have the benefit of heaven, but let me tell you something. There's going to be a whole host of people dying and going to hell, and right now is time for us to roll up our sleeves and tell them people about Jesus Christ. You know what? We sit there, we expect, well, the pastor will do it. The deacon will go ahead and do it. The teenagers will go ahead and do it. Who's supposed to teach the teenagers? Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm for the teenager, and we have a teen soloing program. I'm for that. But the truth of the matter is, you know, it's pretty sad when, it's really wacky when you think about it. Teenagers leading mom and dad. I mean, it's really, something's not right there. Don't misunderstand, I'm not disbanding at all the teen soul winning. But you know what, we ought to have our part in reaching people. We ought to have our, you know what, and I've said it, and I've taught on soul winning, I've said it, you know, if all you can do is pass out a track, a few tracks a week, do it. You know, if you can show up and say, you know, I'll be a silent partner, then do it. If you can go ahead and show up, you know, Saturday morning is a good time to go soul winning, amen. You know, beautiful day yesterday, some folks out, some good contacts, you know. But let me ask you a question. What are you doing so important on Saturday morning that you can't maybe take an hour or two and spread the gospel? Now listen, I'm not poking you. You know what? If you're feeling a little uncomfortable right now, it's not me, because I don't know what goes on in your household, but Jesus does. Hey, listen. You know, we live in such an inactive time. Everything's done for us. And we need to roll up our sleeves. You know what? Maybe you could go ahead and teach a class. I don't know. Have you ever thought about it? Have you ever tried? Pray about it. Have you ever even thought about praying about teaching a class? You ever thought about even praying about, you know, I think I could drive a bus. I think I could go ahead and sign up for a month of cleaning. I think I could, you know what? Have you ever even thought about it? Hey, there's a whole lot of opportunities. Let's roll up our sleeves and go to work. You know, and there's things about my life that I like better than others. I'm not an office guy. God knows I'm not an office guy. I'd soon blow up the computers and everything that goes on. You know, I'm not an office guy. And I've learned a lot this year that, you know, you gotta be part of an office guy too. I love the outside. I love going outside, working, mowing, planting some flowers, doing that. I like that. And you know what? Sometimes you have things that you don't like to do, but they need to be done anyways. It's character. One that is not inactive has a vision. An active person has vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he that keepeth the law. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to a lady in the area. Actually lives right down the street. She was a cat. She actually goes to Our Lady of Lourdes, but she doesn't go. She's a member, but she doesn't go. She says, I'm not a devout Catholic. She was just going on about some things. I got to witness to her a little bit. She drives by and she goes to Sunday, meets a friend of hers in Plymouth and has this activity, Sunday brunch or whatever. And she drives by this place every Sunday morning. She says, for the last several months, I've driven by and I've seen the parking lot full. And she says, you know what? There's something going on there. I said, well, we're having church. 9:45, 10:40, you know, I was very kind, but I said, we're having church. You know, and boy, you ought to come. And I told her, you know, she was saying, boy, you know what? Sure does take a lot to be able to do what you're doing. We were talking about the ministry and so forth. I said, you know, listen, the very best I know, church, and I'm giving you my heart a little bit right now. I told her I came with a vision to get something done. You know, a lot of people would have gone ahead and loved to have gotten into a place like this or other places and just kind of sat back and kind of just rode the wave, so to speak. But you know, I have a vision. I want to get something done. You know what? And I want you, church, and I say this, I want you to be part of that vision. Well, you ought to be part of vision of reaching people. You know, I'll just say this, give you an update. You know, the Carver Project is still moving forward. We've stalled a little bit, but we are moving forward. We're getting some things done. And we're going to go ahead, and by the end of the year, we will have Carver covered. And you know what? Let me just say this. When we get finalized, we got most everything. When we finalize a few things, but you know what? One of the greatest opportunities that you could have, church, is say, you know, I'll claim that street in Carver and I'll go ahead and I'll put these little door hangers on them doors. I'll go ahead and I'll do that. You know, there's some good opportunities there. Starting a new bus route in Wareham. We were over there yesterday knocking on doors and a few good contacts. I want you to be praying about that. That's been a burden on my heart ever since the end of last year. I want you to be praying about that. We need laborers. We're going to keep on going after the souls of men. We have a vision here, and I want you to be part of that vision. I don't want us to be parked in an inactivity zone. You know, sometimes it's so easy to be caught up in comfortable Christianity. You know, no pressure. It seems like whenever the pressure comes, you know, it's so easy. Well, let's just draw back a little bit. Let's just wait till the wave is over. Then we'll go ahead and get back on the surfboard again. No, 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 no. You know what? When the pressure does come, we just need to keep on going forward. We need to keep on pressing on the upward way. We don't need to just sit back, well, say, well, you know, and oftentimes people say, well, I told you it couldn't be done. Well, with that kind of attitude, it's not going to be done. Truth of the matter is, hey, let's not get involved in this inactivity zone. Don't think of parking there. Have some visions. Keep setting goals. You know, one's going to die if you don't set a goal. You know, keep setting goals for your Bible reading. Keep setting goals in your prayer life. Keep setting goals in your soul winning. If you don't have a goal in your soul winning, then set a goal and go soul winning. Keep setting goals in your church work. I've set a goal for this church. I want to reach as many people for the cause of Christ as possible. I want to go ahead and reach families. I want to reach boys and girls, and I want to run buses. And that's what we need to do. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Hey, a visionary is active. Keep stepping forward. Take your Bibles, turn to Exodus. Exodus. I told you I won't go to part three with this, and I'm going to have to be through in just a few minutes, so maybe I'll pick up on this 4 years down the road. I don't know, but we'll get these 2 points, immorality and inactivity, done anyways. Exodus chapter 14. Very familiar story, but you know, a visionary needs to keep stepping forward. You know what? The pressure may come. I'm talking about dad. You're a leader in your home. You ought to have a vision for them kids of yours. Mom, you ought to have a vision for them kids of yours. And you know as well as I do, you raise kids. You know what? There's a little pressure. There's some struggles. There's some battles even in the home that you got to go ahead and try to get up over and so forth, and try to fight and try to keep going. And let me tell you something, when them battles come, it's not a time for you to go ahead and cut back. When them battles come, it's not a time for you to go ahead and just get out of the battle, because that time, your parents, your children will go ahead and say, well, if my dad does not care about this certain battle, maybe it's involving them, maybe they're involved in something, but you know what? You're not parent, you're not willing to rise up and take the challenge and teach them why this is particularly wrong. You know what? That will do nothing to help your kids. Your kids will go ahead and see that. Well, you know what? Well, then I guess rock music is not so bad after all. I guess this isn't so bad after all. I guess dating this way isn't so bad after all. You know what? Moms and dads, Christian moms and dads, you need to go ahead and decide what you know is right from this book, and you need to be teaching your kids. And the battles will come. Sometimes your children will bring some hurdles along the way, don't they? Sometimes, you know, whoa, I never saw that coming. And so you need to go ahead and set them aside, and you need to teach them some things from the Word of God, why we don't do that or why we don't do this. But you know what? You just keep on going forward, Mama and Daddy. You keep on going forward in your ministry. We keep on going forward in the church. Keep stepping forward. Let me just read some scripture here in Exodus chapter 14. I'll start with verse number, we know the story, but verse number 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now, mind you, they just left Egypt, and Pharaoh said, you know what? Oh, what did I do? He went ahead, and he got the chariots all together, his army all together, and he went on after them. And when Pharaoh saw, the children of Israel saw it, they were scared, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. In verse 11, they said unto Moses, okay, here comes the griping and complaining now. But here's the visionary. I like what the visionary does, Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt. Hast thou taken us away to die in this wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. They weren't thinking at this time. You know, it was better for them to go ahead and go back into slavery and serve the Egyptians than for them to go to the promised land. They weren't thinking here, but they were scared. The Egyptians were behind them. They were coming to the Red Sea. The Red Sea was before them. They were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, if you will. And Moses said unto them, fear ye not. This is what the man of God did. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen, seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. You know, here's me. I don't know if Moses really knew what was going to happen here, but you know what? He was a man of faith. He said, hey, you know what? You're not going to see these guys anymore. You know what? He says, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Hey, you know what? I think he's kind of saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. I don't know if in his heart of hearts, I don't know if he was actually thinking that, God, I don't know what you're going to do here, but he stood up fearlessly. He says, fear not, fear not. Hey, you know what? You're going to see God do something. You're not going to see these Egyptians anymore. The Lord shall fight for you, verse number 14, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. God says, hey, you know what? Hey, you, Moses, you just tell them, we're going forward. You just keep on going forward. And that's what a visionary does. You know, sometimes your preacher, sometimes the godly leader, Moses didn't necessarily know what to do, but he knew who to run to, and he ran to God, and God went and gave him the answer. And you know what? And God said, you know what? You just go forward. Sometimes you're going to come to that rock. Sometimes you're going to come to the Red Sea in your life that'll cause you to go ahead and become inactive if you allow it to. Well, it's just no use. Well, this is not fair. We should have stayed back in Egypt, and we can be the same way. We can start griping and complaining. You know, well, we shouldn't have gone ahead and left. You know, this isn't fair. Can you just see him whining and complaining out there in the wilderness? You know, this was no time. You know what? If they'd have gone ahead and realized how good God has been to them, they aren't serving the Egyptians anymore. It would have been, you know what? What a great thing it would have been for them just all to get on their knees before God and bow their knees before God and say, oh, God, help us. Instead, they griped about it. You know, there's going to be times that the church will go through it. You know, being the church been going for since 1989, you do the math, okay? And I'm sure those of you who've been around a while, you've seen it. I've been in the ministry long enough, whether it be here, whether it be at First Baptist as a student, whether it be at my home church, I've seen some battles. But you know what? It would do a whole lot of good if we would just go ahead instead of, well, this just ain't going to work. Well, I kind of told you so, preacher. We shouldn't have gone ahead and done this or whatever. What would happen? We just all get on our knees and say, okay, God, I don't know what's going to happen. The Red Sea's there, and it ain't looking very good back there. But God, I'm going to go ahead and trust you. You know what? It might just be that God's waiting to pour a bunch of blessings on you, but because of our critical attitude, because of our cynicism, because of our, well, it can't be done kind of attitude, God says, why should I go ahead and bless you? But in this case right here, Moses, who was a visionary, you know, I just love that verse. I don't know whether, I don't think Moses knew exactly what was going to go on. I don't know. I don't think he knew. He hadn't put the rod out over the sea yet. But he says, you know what? Boy, with all courage, he stood up and says, fear not. You know, listen, let me just say this. The Red Seas may come in your life, in your ministry, in this ministry. But let me just say this. You know what? We have a God who's in control. We may not know when we're gonna how we're gonna cross that Red Sea, but you know what the Bible says here, good lesson here, fear not, stand still, and let's see the salvation of God Almighty. And you know what? And they did the right thing instead of going ahead and letting the Red Sea defeat them, saying, well, this just is no use. You know what? Moses went to God and God says, go forward. You know, we just need to keep going forward. You run into a little stumbling block in your home, what are you going to do? It's just no use anymore. I'm not going to fight with them anymore. By the way, kids, if your parents have rules, you obey them. It's their roof. Amen. You know, there shouldn't be any strife in your home because of rules that you have. Amen and amen. You know, and sometimes teenagers, you may think, well, that's just not fair, boom, 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 and you'll stomp and stomp and stomp and break things and so forth. You know what? Until you go pay for your own roof, until you are old enough to make your own rules, you obey your children, obey your parents, for it is right. But you know what, parents? Sometimes the pressures of maybe finances, the pressures of all kinds of different, raising your family for right and different things. And today it is difficult, isn't it? Trying to raise your family for right. And we talked about, it seems like the devil is just going at every single avenue. He's trying to attack the home more than ever today. He's trying to attack the church. Every single avenue, he's trying. But you know what, moms and dads? You got to keep going forward. Sunday school teacher, ministry worker, you know what? You'll face some little struggles in your ministry. What are you going to do? It's just no use. Preacher, I don't think I can do it. I'm not going to do it, you know. Listen, maybe you will face some struggles. I encourage you, you keep going forward. Have a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That, if you don't have a vision, that puts you into a place where you're parked in an inactivity zone and we become lazy. And I wonder, in our spot of laziness, in our place of laziness, if we're not careful, I wonder how many people we could have influenced for the cause of Christ. You know, there's no doubt. All of us here could do better. We all could do better in every area of our life. But let me just go ahead and stop and say this. You know, are you inactive tonight? Are you in that parking spot of inactivity? You kind of lost your zing for that class that you had. Kind of lost that zap for raising your family for the Lord. Kind of lost that zap of your personal walk with God. Kind of lost that zap for soul winning. Hey, you know what, tonight, you know what, let me tell you something. You may have come up to a place where it's a Red Sea, but you know what, you got to go ahead and trust God. You've got to allow him to go ahead and do something in your life. You know what? You might need a little bit of revival in your heart. You might need your spirit renewed. And don't let the lack of you renewing your spirit with God. You know, the Bible says, David said in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, David's spirit was broken. This was a time during his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. He was at the lowest of the low, and he, you know, his heart was dirty. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit. You know, he knew that his sin had gone ahead, just kind of zapped his spirit, if you will. No desire. Let me just say this. Maybe you're here tonight. You kind of lost that zap. You kind of lost that zing. You kind of lost that desire. Kind of in that inactivity zone. You kind of ho-hum. Well, I plead with you. Why don't you go ahead and reset that button? I plead with you. Why don't you go ahead and, you know what? Start them family devotions again. Why don't you go ahead and get your Bible reading up to snuff again? Why don't you start knocking on doors again? Why don't you, you know what? I'm going to go into that Sunday school class next Sunday morning like it was a first day. That first day, go back to that first day that you taught that class and the excitement that you had. Renew your spirit. Inactivity. Don't think of parking there. I don't know about you. I'm just keeping going. You know, if anything I've learned this week especially, you just keep going forward. Devil would like to do anything he can to try to slow you down and bog you down. And it happens to the best of us. But you know what? Brush yourself off and you just keep on going. I love Moses, man, right there. We're just going forward. God says, tell him, you're going forward. You know, I hope he's on video. I want Moses. I want to sit down. I want to talk to him about this, friends. This is one of the coolest accounts in the Bible. I mean, I'd love to have been there. I mean, it would have been cool. I don't know about you, but when I read my Bible, you know why I love the Bible? Because I make it come alive. You know, I try to picture myself there in the Red Sea. You know what I mean? And you know, the children of Israel won. And you know what? I just love it. It comes alive, man. But you know what, Moses' faith and his vision, he went to the one, he recognized God, said, God, you know, I don't know what you're going to do. But God says, go forward. And we know the story. Stretch your hand out over this. And boy, you saw that sea part. They walked across on dry land and they were delivered. Hey, you know what? You might be at a Red Sea tonight. That Red Sea might have brought you to a point of inactivity. Well, you know, I ho-hum, whatever. You know what? Hey, don't let that Red Sea stop you. Don't you let that Red Sea stop you. You go forward. I said enough. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just, unusual message here tonight, another point about not parking in some places we should not be parking. Immorality is big. Boy, that's big. It's all around us tonight. Lord, inactivity, boy, that's exactly another place that the devil would love to have us be, inactive. Not winning souls, not trying to reach our own kids and teaching them the Word of God, not being who we ought to be and kind of quitting, if you will, in our ministries, whatever. Inactive, that's exactly what he wants us to do, to be. You know, the devil knows if we're saved, he can't get our soul, but he'd love to do everything he can to cause our life be displeasing to you. And I pray, God, that in our inactivity will become active. I pray tonight that we'll get busy. I pray that we won't park in that place of inactivity tonight. I pray, God, that if we're at the Red Sea, if you will, that we just go ahead and we're going to trust you and we're going to keep on going forward. We're going to have a vision for things to be done in our Sunday school classes, in our church, on our bus route, in our families. I pray, dear God, whatever needs to be done tonight, I pray if we're parked in a place we ought not be in our life tonight, it might be a host of other things that we didn't cover. But I pray, dear God, whatever it is, that we'll back out. We will remove ourselves from her and not even go near it. And that we'll go forward in serving you and keeping our eyes on you. I pray you bless now in Jesus' name. Heads about.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the Word of God tonight, Lord, and how it warns us and keeps us. Lord, sets areas of safety for us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to remember this message throughout this week, not to go and park in places we shouldn't be, Lord. And Father, give us a great day. We're asking for great weather. Lord, when Brother Walker's here, Lord, give us a great vision of what you're going to accomplish. More than anything, give us souls, Lord, that we might reach for you. And help us if we go for and labor for the kingdom, Lord, to glorify you. Thank you for this service tonight. Thank you for the preaching. Thank you for everything that's gone on, how you blessed us today. And now give us safety as we travel home, Lord, and once again, gather us together on Wednesday, that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.